building a company from nothing is freaking hard. Us entrepreneurs are expected to deal with unimaginable challenges and somehow keep a cool head through it all. This is The Art of Entrepreneurship, and I'm your host, Jackie Hermes. I grew my company, Excelity, from 0 to 7 figures with no partners and no funding. The Art of Entrepreneurship is a show where we cut through the BS and dig into what it actually takes to start and grow a company. If you give me your time, I promise it won't be wasted. Now let's get to work.
Hello and welcome back to The Art of Entrepreneurship. Today's guest is someone who really redefines what it means to be one thing. I think that there is this thing in entrepreneurship where we think that you really have to be focused on just being an entrepreneur and just your company. Our guest today, Michael Fabiano, is an opera singer, an acclaimed opera singer who has performed on some of the world's greatest and largest stages. And he's also the founder of a national nonprofit that mentors under-resourced youth, a partner in a tech startup that's building a smart CRM for performance and entertainment venues, and he has a number of hobbies and other activities that he's involved in. In our conversation, we talked about breaking free from labels, why pursuing multiple passions can actually make you better at everything that you do, what he's learned from failure, and how he is bringing the discipline and what he learns from all of his passions into work. It's a really interesting conversation about resilience and reinvention and just kind of what's possible when you don't limit yourself. So I'm really excited for you to tune in today. Thank you so much for being here with me today. I really appreciate it.
Glad to be here. Thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so the topic that I want to get into today is being a multifaceted entrepreneur. There's this concept kind of online that when you are an entrepreneur, you run a company, that's kind of who you are. I think, especially I'm on LinkedIn a lot, and I think that is definitely a big echo chamber. So that's probably part of what I see. But when you run a company, you know, you put all of your time and energy into it. And I thought you would be a fascinating interview because you break that mold in so many different ways. You're an entrepreneur. You're an opera singer. You run a foundation. You're a pilot. You have multiple different licenses. And you said your instrument rated. I know how hard it is just to get that rating, which is crazy. Tell me how you are able to do all of this at one time while finding success in each area.
First of all, I would say that I've learned the art of being able to compartmentalize. I think the key to success in being a good entrepreneur is being able to separate objectives into buckets, into silos.
Okay.
And I think there is this theory that when you are running a startup or doing something really important in the business world, that you stick into one lane and all you do is what's in the lane. And you don't look on the other lanes. You don't switch lanes. You just stay in the lane. The problem is that one track tubular thinking ends up bleeding into the ethos of the business you're creating, but also leaves the individual that's doing that one track thinking unable to see past that lane. And in order to create a business that has, let's say, legs that goes the distance, there has to be 360 degree thinking, which means you have to be interdisciplinary. You have to be able to step into other people's shoes. You have to be able to talk the talk that other people talk and not just your own talk. So I'm an opera singer as my day job. Mm-hmm. I sing at the Metropolitan Opera. I sing all over the world. But I didn't learn the skill of compartmentalizing until I became a pilot. Okay. And we'll get to entrepreneurship in a second, because that's very important to my life. What flying a plane taught me is that all I could do when I was flying a plane was fly the plane. I couldn't be thinking about my day job. I couldn't be thinking about what my family's doing. I couldn't be thinking about the dinner that I'm going to make that night. I had to just think about how do I keep the plane up in the sky and how do I do it as efficiently as possible. That's it. And when I figured that lesson out, which is be one with the moment, I realized that I could apply that to many things at different times and be efficient in the work that I did in all different verticals. And then I'm a partner and a founder in a technology company that has been a brainchild of mine for 10 years. And the second go is successful finally, not the first go. And when I'm doing that work, I'm only doing that work. And I'm deeply focused and deeply committed on that work. There are 24 hours in the day. I sleep eight of them. I sing six of them. So there are a lot of hours during the day that I could put really deep energy into other things.
I love that. I want to dig further into something that you just said. When people don't have, I guess, those focuses outside of entrepreneurship, you said that that can bleed into the ethos of the company. What do you mean by that?
Well, I would say that if your thinking is incredibly tubular, as I said, I used that word before, and all you do is think about work, so much of what I've learned about people has been on the street, going to restaurants, talking to people, lessons learned from people that I don't know well. If all I'm thinking about is work, the mission at hand and nothing else, and I'm not tracking the experiences of people around me in other verticals, those lessons are going to be lost on the business that I'm trying to build. And I would say that all the endeavors that I do have been built out of lessons learned on the exterior, not on the interior, right? Mm-hmm. So my foundation, I run an organization called ArtSmart, which provides free music mentorship to under-resourced kids all over the United States in public schools. And we operate during the school day. We're not an after-school program. We negotiate with school districts to make sure that a music mentoring session that is one-on-one is part of the curriculum for a student. I learned so much about how to talk to kids, to communicate with my mentors, to create a 150-page curriculum that we wrote over the last 10 years because of my experiences talking to other people, not just because I came up with this curriculum just because. It was because I had to communicate with my colleagues in the opera world. It's because I, as a pilot, had to learn best practices as a pilot on how to communicate effectively, how to prepare, all those things. Preparation is part of the curriculum that I built for ArtSmart. I learned how to prepare better as an opera singer because of my training as a pilot. And that also applied to the curriculum that I wrote for ArtSmart, literally. So there are triggers inside of the curriculum that I wrote for my foundation that are built out of becoming a safe pilot. So everything has become highly interdisciplinary for me. Everything overlaps in different ways. And each vertical that I operate in has taught different lessons to each other.
Yeah, I think there is another facet of that too, where you're setting that example for everyone that is employed by your startup or your foundation, that they should be going and doing those things and bringing their experience into their roles as well, right? I think that culture absolutely comes from your leaders. And when your leaders say, I don't have hobbies, I'm only focused on this one thing, I work 24/7 and that's all I do, it becomes the expectation of the organization.
I like that line. That's true.
Yeah. And so when you are out doing these things and saying, I met this person, or I'm bringing this discipline from my life as a pilot into work, and here are the stories, then you, I think, are empowering other people to go and do those same things and to really deeply focus when they're at work and to log off at other times. And I think a lot of leaders really miss that part.
Yeah, totally.
How do you build these skills? I think deep focus is, there's so many books on stuff like this, and it's something that people really struggle with, especially in this world where we have notifications flying at us. We're expected to be constantly available on Slack via email. You know, there's these expected turnaround times for everything.
Totally.
I think the world actually is pushing us toward less and less focus, and the requirements of our job require more and more focus. How did you learn these skills?
First of all, I am not perfect. No person is perfect. I'm not going to claim that. I can slack, speaking of the word slack. I make mistakes, but I do create a couple of parameters throughout the day of check-ins. Where am I on X? Where am I on Y? Where am I on Z? And they're just reminders that pop up on my phone. They're not autocratic. They're just, have you studied? Have you handled these interviews? Have you done this? And every day they're set. It's really pedantic sounding, but it does keep me checked in on where I am on goals. The second is, it's certainly learned. It's not nature. For me, this was a learned technique that's still evolving. But now I don't need lots of memorandums for it. Now I know that when I do my work, my foundational work, as soon as it's done, I close it and I check in with my singing. And when I'm done with my singing, I check in with my technology company. I don't know how to say very clearly what I would do, except create a skeleton of check-ins for yourself over the course of the day that becomes memorized. You don't even need it after a while. You just know to check in. And then important is accountability. This is a really important word, and I've learned this. I have people in my life that keep me accountable to my actions, whether or not it's a personal trainer or a business manager, which I have, my operatic manager, my coach. I have multiple people in my life. I'm not scared of having multiple people in my life. I always say that I'm the chairman of my own board. I am. And I'm the chairman of the board that has many different functions. And there are many people that advise the chairman. And sometimes I let them have a vote. And if they outvote me, I'll go with what they say too. I really will. You know, if I'm about to take a very big decision and I ask the four people that are really important to me on my board, if they all say, Michael, you're crazy, you should not be doing this right now, it's too much, or you don't have the time, how are you going to manage this? I listen to them and I take it, because I know that they have their total loyalty. Loyalty is crucial from trusted advisors. If you don't have loyalty, they shouldn't be on your board. I think that's a really important lesson that I've learned. Without loyal people around you, don't have any people around, period. You don't want just people that are going to talk, that are going to talk behind you. And the second is that the people around me have to always be willing to push me the distance, really push me. Because we all have the reflexes to either push too hard or not push enough. And I can do both. I can sink and end up not doing enough, and then I can do the opposite, and I can work, and people can tell me, Michael, you're not stopping, you need to stop, you need to go do something else, you need to go to the gym, you need to go take a swim, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Stop, go watch a TV show for once.
That would be a good topic for a future episode, how to create your own personal board of advisors. All right, y'all, it's shameless plug time. I want to take a quick break to chat with you about Excelity, my full service marketing agency. For the last 12 years, we've been working closely with B2B software and service companies. Now we are expanding and looking for growth stage companies with a bold vision, but maybe lacking the marketing strategy or resources to get there. Or hey, you might have resources that just aren't working out. We definitely see that all the time. At Excelity, our team gets results and we have a ton of fun doing it. I'm sure you can tell that from listening to this podcast. So if you or someone you know is a fit, check us out at excelitymarketing.com or reach out to me directly on LinkedIn. Especially as I think people, as you become more successful, you know, however you define that, people challenge you less and less, and therefore you naturally have less accountability in your life.
In fact, the higher you go, the more challenging you need.
Yeah, correct. Right.
You cannot be an island. You're not an all-powerful person.
I want to talk about a video of yours that I saw on Instagram where you said, failure is not an end. It's a moment to take stock and change course. I would love to hear about your biggest lesson from failure.
First of all, even in a more myopic way, I think failure is the moment for pivot. It's nothing. It's a moment to pivot. It's not the end. I just don't believe that. It's a moment to look inward and think, why did I do what I did? It's not the what. I failed. Okay, we got it. Why? Why did I endeavor to get to this moment in time where something didn't go right? And in that moment, that in that answer to why is the strategy to move to something else. So when I was 29, I created a technology company with the command intent to marry LinkedIn to Uber in the performing arts. I wanted to get gig workers jobs really fast without a middleman, no manager. And when I say gig workers, I mean anyone. I mean street acts, people that play instruments in clubs and bars, performers, things at churches, whatever it was. And this was a long time ago in the technology curve. We're talking 2012, 2013.
Okay.
Where Uber was only at that time, what was it, 3 years old or something like that?
Yeah.
It was very young. And the idea that I had was a prescient one. The gig working world, there's $100+ billion of work in it, and it's ancillary businesses in the United States at any given time. And there was no service at the time that did this. That you either had to have a manager, an agent, or you just needed to be really well connected, or you needed to do what I did when I was a young person, which was go on Craigslist and look at all the job posts for any gig that was available, the funeral, the bar mitzvah, the blah, 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 and take the job on the hope that I would get paid. And there are many cases where I would show up and do a singing gig, and the people that hired me would forget to bring their checkbook, wouldn't pay me. Sure.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That happened a lot.
Wow.
And, you know, but there was no oversight. It was just a job posting board. And so my concept was, how can I get people more work faster with job security without having a middleman? Good concept.
Mm-hmm.
Good idea. Required lots of execution. And at the time, I was growing my career as an opera singer as well. I had just started making my big break in my own business. So a lot of little things, little details went unnoticed by me. And there was a lot of stupid decisions that I made. I invested all of my own capital in this. I didn't source a dollar from anyone else. I didn't know better. I just had no idea. I was too young and I didn't go to business school. I didn't know one thing about coding. I had no clue about the coding world. And what happened was I kept flooding the business with my own capital. All my hard-earned money as a performer went straight into the business. I was employing more and more people, making a bloated organization. Yes, we created a technological platform. Yes, we created a mobile application. But by the time it was live and in a beta, it was already too late. There were already competitors in the market that were doing it better than us. And we're talking only 19, 20 months from when the conception of the idea started to when it went online. It wasn't that slow. It went pretty quick. In the process, I learned lots of things. I learned how to pitch to investors. I learned how to write a pitch deck. I learned how to write a tech deck. I taught myself how to code. And what I didn't know is what I didn't know. I didn't know enough, and I didn't have the right people around me to keep me honest that what I was doing was, well, smart in a way, wasn't done the right way for the tech world. I didn't know better.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of continue to let the thing bleed, I just shut it down and I ended it. I depreciated it. And I asked lots of questions. Why did we do what we did? Because arts workers, gig workers have limited access to liquidity, because arts workers spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on degrees and deserve to see some of that money come back as fast as possible, because arts workers shouldn't have to have a middleman take 15 or 20% away from them when they get a job.
Yeah.
Simple things, simple paradigms. So instead, I thought, how else can I answer those questions I just asked? These simple questions. Well, I could form a foundation that employs these people in a different way and deploys them into the community. That's the quick way of getting to where I got, which is why I formed my organization, ArtSmart, which was to really generously compensate arts workers that work in the community and provide mentorship to young people.
Okay, we are nearing the end of our time, and I wanted to ask you one more question.
Sure.
If there is a lesson that we didn't get to today, maybe a saying to live by or something like that, that you wanted to share, what is it?
It's going to be controversial.
Okay.
Some people will mightily disagree with it, and I don't care. Don't wait in line in life. I believe that each person, each one of us, has to grab opportunity when it looks us in the face. And even if the prescriptive rules for engagement are there, you have to just endeavor to go all the time. Don't wait in line in life. Don't wait for people to give you a green light ever.
I love that. So we're not asking for permission. And no. we're going for it. That is fantastic advice. And for everyone listening, if you got value out of today's conversation, please share it with one person that needs to hear our lessons and this conversation today. And thank you so much, Michael. I will talk to you all next time. Thank you.